Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Visions of the Past, a show that brings you news and discoveries from around the world and how it relates to paganism. Now here's your host, William Brigley.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Visions of the Past. I would like to thank everyone for tuning in. It's always good to be here with you each and every week. If you do miss one of the shows that air on the network, we do host the archives on our website at spiritualunityradionetwork.org, as well post the links on our show's Facebook pages. For our new listeners, we're also on iTunes. Yes, you can download your favorite episodes to your mobile device and take them with you anywhere you go. Again, if you do like the topics, please tell your friends. The music we play is also donated by the artists themselves, so if you like what you hear, please try to support them. Again, if you have any comments, suggestions, or ideas about upcoming shows, I'd like to hear them. For my show, you can post them on my Visions of the Past Facebook page. As usual, my intent on the show is to encourage people to conduct self-research from reliable sources and most of all become aware of the true stories of our ancestors. On this show, we have explored the ancient pagan beliefs found in the Holy Land, to many findings in Turkey, including the Epic of Gilgamesh. We've come to learn on this path around the world that polytheism is found everywhere and all throughout our history, from the dawn of mankind to present day. Without a doubt, polytheism is the world's oldest belief system, and shamanism is our oldest connection to the spirit world. As more and more discoveries are made, Visions of the Past will be there to continue to bring you stories of our history and our cultures from around the world. As for this episode, we're traveling to the place where time stood still for over 17 centuries, an ancient way of life preserved in stone. Tonight, we're off to a place on the west coast of Italy called Pompeii. But first, let's kick things off with a little Bone Poets Orchestra and their song, Ecstasy in the Ruins. We'll be right back, everyone.
Gone, they fly like the memories we used to hang on. With you, I'm awake. With you I'm alive, I'll take all of the years. You and I can survive, we'll find ecstasy in the ruins. You and me and the ruins. Honesty in the ruins. 20 years going, 20 years in, I still thrill at the touch of your skin. Thought we'd be wealthy, thought we'd be thin, but a bit of a belly's no unpardonable sin. We find ecstasy in the ruins, honesty in the ruins, you and me in the ruins. We'll make love on these altars, 'cause that's what is sacred for us. We'll be part of what's human long after that church is obvious. Slashing the night like the fires of the sun. Ecstasy while the old men stumble. Ecstasy while the walls fall down. Ecstasy while the bankers tumble. Flashing through space as they race to the ground. Ecstasy in the falling embers. Ecstasy in the twisted steel. Ecstasy as we all remember, dreaming the days when our freedom was real. Ecstasy in the madman's ranting. Ecstasy in the sane man's blood. Ecstasy in the storm surge splashing, tossing us off with the waves and the flood. Ecstasy while the rich men tremble. Ecstasy in the endless rage. Ecstasy while the empires crumble, smashing through history like turning a page. Ecstasy in the blinding chaos. Ecstasy while the oceans boil. Ecstasy while the old ways bind us, fighting like fools for the last of the oil. Ecstasy in the ruins. Honesty in the ruins. You and me in the ruins. Ecstasy in the ruins.
Listening to Visions of the Past with William Brigley on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for listening. And now, back to William.
Welcome back, everyone. That was Bone Poets Orchestra and their song Ecstasy in the Ruins. Pompeii, a tragedy, a buried memory, and a preserved ancient pagan society. The city met its tragic end on the 24th of August, 79 CE, when Mount Vesuvius explosively erupted, burying Pompeii under a mountain of volcanic ash. If you have seen the movie, you'd remember the part where the volcano is erupting and balls of molten lava rain down upon the city, followed by a massive tsunami. This is the one part that is pretty accurate to what Pompeians would have actually experienced, according to some researchers. That's pretty scary when you think about it. For the next 17 centuries, the city would remain lost, forgotten by the world, a people preserved in stone for what seemed like an eternity. When one looks upon the faces of the people that once lived, you can almost feel the last emotions they felt, the fear of what was probably the unknown to them. Was this the gods? What was this? If we jump back to before its demise, Pompeii was a thriving provincial center with a population of between 10,000 and 20,000 people. Its narrow streets lined by street vendors and shops. It was also teamed with an aqueduct which supplied running water from the lower Apennine Mountains, which gushed from fountains throughout the city, including feeding into private homes. In the towns below Mount Vesuvius, most people would not have known that it was a volcano or that a Bronze Age settlement in the area had been annihilated almost 2,000 years before. And that was not the first time. In daily life, the Pompeians worshipped many gods, primarily Greco-Roman deities such as Jupiter, the Greek Zeus, Juno, or Hera, Minerva, equivalent to Athena, and Apollo. The oldest temple in Pompeii may have been a temple of Minerva dating to the 6th century BCE. Another includes the temple of Apollo, which stands next to the forum, followed by a temple of Jupiter at its north end, both built in the 2nd century BCE. In about 80 BCE, a temple of Venus was built on high ground in the southwest corner of the city overlooking the sea, from which mythology tells us the goddess was born. In fact, Pompeii was not the only city lost that dreadful day. Herculaneum was lost as well. Roman temples were designed to house cult statues of the god or goddess to which they were dedicated. Unlike most churches today, they were not usually entered by the worshippers. Instead, priests venerated the gods with processions and sacrifices on the altar, which stood in front of the temple. The Romans believed it was crucial to perform these important rituals correctly, and the only way to know whether the god had been appeased was by divination, which meant examining the livers of sacrificial animals and the direction in which birds flew or how they ate in order to interpret the god's mood and intentions. In addition to the public temples, most houses had a small shrine where daily ceremonies and rituals were performed to appease the household gods who guarded the home. As the Roman Empire spread, several new religions converged in Pompeii from overseas. The Egyptian cult of Isis was popular in Pompeii before the Roman colony was established in 80 BCE and appealed especially to the poor and oppressed, thanks to its story of death and resurrection and the promise of immortality. This story sounds very similar to other beliefs we encounter throughout history. Isis worship in Pompeii was also so popular among slaves and freedmen that it was believed to have almost become the official religion in Pompeii. This ideology is based upon the archaeological evidence between the treasures found together with the corpses of unfortunate priests shows its wealth. More importantly, the fact that the temple was quickly rebuilt after its complete destruction by the earthquake, while other temples were still being repaired, and the fact that paying for the repair out of his own pocket gave the young Papidius Silcinus a seat in the Senate indicates the popularity of Isis. We are going to take another break and let you enjoy a little Tuatha Dé and their song, The Hum and the Shiver. We'll be back shortly, folks.
Looking in the eye too.
listening to Visions of the Past with William Brigley on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for listening. And now, back to William.
Welcome back. That was Tuathadea and their song, The Hum and the Shiver. Thanks again, everyone, for tuning in, and to those who choose to listen to the archives. We are visiting Pompeii. Whether during the show or in the archive, I'd love to see your comments on this topic and others I've discussed. Like usual, I will be including links to the sites that I obtained my information from, so if you're interested, you'll be able to view the research as well. The citizens of Pompeii were quite open about their fertility worship. Many of these themes were expressed throughout their art, symbols, and inscriptions, which were regarded by its excavators as pornographic. In fact, some of the artifacts excavated in Pompeii were considered so sexually explicit, a collection is held in separate galleries in the Naples National Archaeological Museum in Italy, which was the former Museo Borbonico. The British Museum also contained secret rooms. Although many recovered household items had a sexual theme and may seem to us to be erotic imagery, were more likely to represent fertility. If we take a look at some of the temples located in Pompeii, there are several that reflect the polytheistic beliefs. Some of these include the Temple of Apollo, which is a rectangular plan with the perimeter being surrounded by an astonishing 48 columns. The inner cella raised on a podium was reached by means of a long flight of steps. Opposite these was the sacrificial altar. The center part, which contains the altar to the god, is also surrounded by columns. It is adorned with two statues depicting Apollo shooting arrows and Diana. The originals are housed in the National Archaeological Museum in Naples. On one of the columns, which mark off the cella of the god, there was a sundial. The Temple of Jupiter was the main center of religious life in Pompeii. Situated on the northern side of the Forum, it is dedicated in honor of Jupiter, Juno, and Minerva Triad, and towers above a wide staircase with two large arcs either side, which have remained virtually intact. The temple itself dates back to the 2nd century BCE. The large head of Jupiter found here is in the Archaeological Museum in Naples. The building was seriously damaged by the earthquake of 62 CE, and at the moment of the eruption in 79 CE, it had not been restored to its original splendor. The Temple of Vespasian is a small cult building, of which part of the facade of the outer structure still remains. The side walls are decorated with blind garbled windows and a scylla raised on a pedestal. The building contains an altar made of marble decorated with bas-reliefs depicting sacrificial scenes. The Temple of the Public Lars was dedicated to the protector gods of the house and was built by the Pompeians as a token of their gratitude for having escaped the perilous earthquake of 62 CE. It was a rectangular structure made from brick with fine ornamental columns and with niches on either side. The Lares was considered the deities of the hosts and were probably to be identified with the deceased. They protected the property and the family. Each house had a site or a small temple dedicated to them. The Temple of Isis is one of the best preserved buildings in Pompeii. She was the goddess of life and fertility. An inscription states that the temple was restored in order to remedy the damage suffered as a consequence of the earthquake of 62 CE. The building consists of a large rectangular space marked off by walls, within which is the cella of the god raised up on a pedestal. These are but just a few. We know by this that Greek, Roman, and even Egyptian mythology was predominantly found throughout their society. So without further ado, let's take another song break. Here's a little song by Darn the Bard entitled The Pipes of Pan. We'll be right back.
Distant thunder. Can you see the moon in the sky? I can see a full horizon. The sun raising his eye, arms lifted to greet the dawn, as fiery eyes of wisdom shine. Father dead, a son of sons, a tear wiped away with a smile. All of my life I have seen many offerings to the gods and all the wonder that they hold, but how many people really can hear the pipes of Pan as they sound across our sacred land of old? I can see a cloven hoof falling on the bare skin of the earth. I can see life returning, feel the triple one's rebirth. Golden light dapples across the woodland as the piper dances and plays his tune. And the hunter horned one, spirit of man. All of my life I have seen many offerings to the gods and all the wonder that they hold, but how many people really can hear the pipes of Pan as they sound across our sacred land of old? Can you hear pipes of Pan on the warm summer breeze? If you can you you feel him deep within you as he penetrates the land. May he blossom to the bee, the nectar of love is on her skin. Heat returns as passions rise and Beltane's dance begins once again. All of my life I have seen many offerings to the gods and all the wonder that they hold, but how many people really can hear the pipes of Pan as they sound across our sacred land of old? All of my life I have seen many offerings to the gods and all the wonder that they hold, but how many people really can hear the pipes of Pan as they sound across our sacred land?
Listening to Visions of the Past with William Brigley on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for listening. And now, back to William.
Welcome back. That was Darn the Bard with his song, The Pipes of Pan. Yes, in fact, there were depictions of Pan found at Pompeii as well. I will include this in the links after the show. But first, if you are interested in learning more about our house, visit spiritualunityradionetwork.org. We also have Reverend Terry's website at revterrypowerhp.com. And for our listeners, our shows airing every week at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here at CERN are: on Tuesday night, we have Reverend Terry's Power Hours. On Thursday night, we have Under a Shady Tree. On Friday, we have Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health. On Sunday, we have Sacred Divergence Radio. And on Monday night, you're back with me for another episode of Visions of the Past. Thanks again, everyone, for tuning in. You have been listening to an episode of Visions of the Past entitled Memories Cast in Stone. On the night of the eruption of Mount Vesuvius, shortly after midnight, a volcanic wall of mud engulfed the town of Herculaneum, obliterating the town as its citizens fled towards Pompeii. About 6:30 a.m. on the following morning, a glowing cloud of volcanic gases and debris rolled down Vesuvius's slopes and enveloped the city of Pompeii. Most victims died instantly as the superheated air burned their lungs and contracted their muscles, leaving the bodies in a semi-curled position to be quickly buried in ash and thus preserved in detail for hundreds of years. An estimated 16,000 citizens in the Roman vicinities of Pompeii and Herculaneum died that night due to the pyroclastic flows. By 2003, around 1,044 casts were made from impressions of bodies in the ash deposits that had been recovered in and around Pompeii, and 38% of these were found in the ash fall deposits, the majority inside buildings, a truly terrible loss. It is a really sad end to so many people, yet taught us so much about the past. Some say it was a godly punishment for their way of life. Archaeologically, it's because they took advantage of the fertile ground at the base of a volcano. Unfortunately, this would be their demise. So what does Pompeii mean today? Well, for starters, the most serious-minded visitors drew inspiration from the astonishing artwork coming to light. Published drawings of Pompeii's richly colored interiors helped trigger the neoclassical revival in European art and architecture. The story of the pagan city annihilated overnight by fire and brimstone was also an irresistible subject for 19th century paintings, novels, and more recently a documentary and a movie. If anything, Pompeii has also become an iconic reminder of not just the dangers of living near volcanoes, but that multicultural people can live peacefully within a society. That is everything I have for you tonight, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the show and decide to tune in for next week's episode. Again, if you have any comments, suggestions, or ideas, please feel free to post them on my Visions of the Past Facebook page. We are going to finish off with a little Jenna Green and her song, Green Man. So long, everyone, and may you blessed be.
Joins in his chorus, jolly, laughing, full of life.
Listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.